Post.com in India. And if you want more than fruitcake, you can find more Christmas food traditions from around the globe at our food blog, The Salt. That's at NPR.org. You're listening to Morning Edition from NPR News.
Great question. That is a great question.
And that's a great question. Wow, that's another great question.
That's a great question.
Oh, that's a great that's a great question.
That is a great question.
What a great question.
On Fresh Air, you'll hear unexpected questions and unexpected answers.
Weekday mornings at 11 and again at 7 p.m. on AM 580.
This is Ira Glass of This American Life.
Oh my God!
One thing I really like in a radio story.
What's back there?
Nothing. It looks empty. No, there's someone living back there.
He's a mystery.
I'm not going back there.
There's somebody's hair. There's a head in there.
There's a shrunken head right there.
Mysteries explained each week. This American Life.
It's Santa Claus. Resident Evil.
Saturdays at noon on AM 580.
So much of what we accomplish as a public radio station is made possible thanks to the support of the Friends of WILL. With just a few days left in 2014, we're nearing our goal to raise more than $1 million in member support by December 31st. So if you've not yet done so, please consider making a gift before the end of the year. Call 217-244-9455 or go to willpledge.org to help ensure this valuable community resource remains strong in 2015 and for years to come.
I'm Maria Hinojosa, this week on Latino USA.
I just need to go to Meatless. That was the first thing I ate. And I think I ate it for like 5 days straight, to be honest with you.
Coming home to a very special restaurant and learning about other Latino icons that define American culture. That's this week on Latino USA.
Saturday evenings at 8 on AM.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning, I'm David Green. 100 years ago, young men in Europe were killing each other by the tens of thousands. World War I was raging. But on a frozen Christmas Eve, the guns briefly fell silent. The Christmas truce of 1914 has become the stuff of legend, portrayed in films, ads, and songs. NPR's Ari Shapiro has the true story of that day in the words of the people who lived it.
Of course, there are no longer any living veterans of World War I to tell this story, but we still have their words in letters and diaries. In some cases, we even have their voices.
On Christmas Eve, at noon, fire ceased completely on both fronts.
These are oral histories that Britain's Imperial War Museum recorded years ago. That was German Army officer Walter Stennis. Here's British soldier Colin Wilson. We've added more recent recordings of the music.
We heard a German singing, "Holy Night," of course in German, naturally. There was all sorts of Christmas greetings being shouted across no man's land to us. These, the Germans, they shouted out, "Well, what about you singing Holy Night?" Well, we had a go, but of course we wasn't very good at that.
There's not one single story of the Christmas truce. There are thousands of stories from all up and down the Western Front.
It was all done independently.
William Spencer is a military specialist at the British National Archives.
It was little bits and pieces dotted. It wasn't a blanket decision made, right, we will all get out of our trenches and fraternize with the enemy.
In the weeks leading up to Christmas, life was miserable on the front lines. The weather was wet and frigid. The trenches were basically large ditches collapsing and filling with water. Alan Wakefield is a historian at the Imperial War Museum.
So they do small-scale truces where they actually get out of the trenches and do repair work within sight of each other. Nobody's firing at each other because they're both just trying to make life a bit more bearable. this is the first chance, really, that you're getting to see the enemy, because normally in a trench war, you're under the ground.
So that was mid-December. Then Christmas arrives.
While shepherds watch their flocks by night, or seated on the ground.
We've asked our colleagues to read some of the letters and diary entries describing what happened next. A soldier named Ernest Morley writes home, saying his men decided to give the Germans a gift on Christmas Eve. Three songs, then five rounds of rapid gunfire. They started with the carol, "While Shepherds Watched."
Goodwill henceforth from hand to men begin and never cease.
We finished that and paused, preparing to give them the second item on the program. We heard answering strains arising from their lines. Then they started shouting across to us. Therefore, we stopped any hostile operations and commenced to shout back. One of them shouted, "A Merry Christmas, English. We are not shooting tonight."
Germans lit lanterns and put them up above the trench. Rifleman Morley says the British tried to outdo them.
Opposite me, they had one lamp and nine candles in a row. And we had all the candles and lights we could muster stuck up on our bayonets above the parapet.
On Christmas Day, the sun rises and all is calm. Lieutenant M.S. Richardson writes a letter to his family where he describes German soldiers cautiously emerging from the trenches.
The situation was so absurd that another officer of ours and myself went out and met seven of their officers.
They exchanged gifts in the area between the trenches called No Man's Land.
One of them presented me with the packet of cigarettes I sent you, and we gave them a plum pudding. And then we shook hands with them and saluted each other.
Some of the soldiers used the day to bury their dead. Second Lieutenant Wilbur Spencer watched many of his men fall a week earlier. On Christmas Day, he writes, it was strange to shake hands with the German soldiers who killed his friends.
They carried over our dead. I won't describe the sights I saw, and which I shall never forget. We buried the dead as they were.
Wilbur took a photograph that day. At the Imperial War Museum, historian Wakefield shows me the black and white image.
The photograph here shows four British soldiers in the foreground beside a grave, a recently dug grave, and a mixed group of German and British in the background actually digging fresh graves for other casualties.
The earth is flat and bare, with a huge blank sky. A small white cross sticks out of the ground. Whenever the truce is portrayed in songs and plays, there is always a soccer match between the Germans and the British. A British supermarket chain made this ad showing the opposing armies happily chasing a ball around the snowy field on Christmas Day. This year, present-day German and British soccer teams played commemorative matches. So I asked historians to show me accounts of the game.
We don't have any documentary evidence of that.
This is Spencer from the National Archives.
There's nothing recorded in the unit war diaries which say a football match took place between this battalion and this particular German infantry regiment.
I thought maybe it was just a gap in his collection. So I asked Wakefield at the Imperial War Museum, who has written a book on the subject called Christmas in the Trenches. He said it's contentious, but ultimately...
The idea of any organized football game is not... doesn't stand up in the documentation.
About 30,000 British soldiers were involved in the truce. Wakefield says maybe 100 played organized soccer games against the Germans. In some places, the two sides held prayer services together. They exchanged mementos, like a small brass button that Wakefield shows me at the museum.
He obviously took that button off his tunic to give it to the British soldier. And the German soldiers put his name and his hometown, which is in Saxony.
For war historians, bloodshed is a daily memory. So I asked Spencer how he relates to this one moment of peace.
This is the human side of people in a dehumanizing environment.
He says when commanders learned about the truce, they were furious.
Various orders were sent down straight after Christmas in 1914, and it were heavily reinforced in December 1915 for this particular occurrence not to happen again.
Germans were warned that if they staged another truce, they would be shot. British soldiers were threatened with court-martial. But many of the men who took part in the Christmas truce refused to fire on their opponents again until the day other soldiers came to take their place. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, London.
Sure.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Green.
Science is big. Think the power of the Big Bang or the distance from here to Pluto. But science can be small, a tiny virus in your bloodstream. I'm Ira Flatow. Join me each week on Science Friday as we sort through the latest news in science and cut science down to size. That's on Science Friday from PRI.
Friday afternoon at 1 on AM 580.
This is Illinois Public Media, WILL AM 580 and WILL FM 90.9 HD3 Urbana.
Good morning. Pope Francis delivers his Christmas blessing in St. Peter's Square this morning. We'll hear how the Pope's appeal reaches beyond Catholics and how he's emerged as a leader on the world stage on Morning Edition from NPR News. Today, a dictator and his wife were executed in Romania, ending years of oppression in that country. But many Romanians still question the nature of their trial and sentence. Later, the classic Hollywood film An American in Paris is getting a second life on stage. It has Parisians going gaga. And a review of Unbroken, the new World War II flick from director Angelina Jolie. Happy birthday to a man who once sang about Santa Claus arriving with presents in a canoe. Of course it was Jimmy Buffett. This Thursday, December 25th, Christmas Day, is Buffett's 68th birthday. And the news is coming up next.